Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor Debbie Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
Hallelujah. Well, are you excited about what God's doing in your life? Amen. Well, I'm just circling the airport, make sure we're on the right one. Right runway. Why don't you just stand up and lift up your hands and give God glory today. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. All right, you can be seated. Praise the Lord. On Monday morning, I woke up and I've been studying on different things, but I just woke up and I was impressed to read the book on Living Sensitive, Finding God's Direction for Your Life, and that's a book I wrote a few years back, and that was a supernatural book, and actually, that was written right after a trip. God, I woke up early on a Thursday morning, Katie and Teresa, Kimberly, and was it Christine? We were getting ready to launch a publishing department, which we have, and going strong now, but at the time, we were just getting forth some things to get it going. And frankly, I hadn't got a lot of rest that night before. And the house that we were staying in Sundown Lake, it was a nice view, put it that way. That's about it, the view. There were issues with the house itself. But so I woke up in the morning, and I was a little bit cold, and I was looking at the cobwebs up in the fan, and the Holy Ghost started talking to me about writing a book, and I'm like, oh, well, yeah, God, you've been dealing with me. I'm behind on a couple different subjects I know I'm supposed to be writing on, and he's like, no, this is a subject, it's a new one, and the subject of living sensitive to the Spirit just came, and then all the titles of the chapters started coming up. And it's what you call, it wasn't a witness of the Spirit, and we'll talk about these three different ways to be led by the Spirit, but it was my conscience telling me what the Holy Ghost said. And it was that still small voice, but I heard it very clearly, and the chapters of the books were coming up. And I told Katie that day, I said, call so-and-so and tell him I'm writing a book. Had him started a page on it. You know, at first I was arguing with the Lord that morning and saying, oh, you know, well, I'll get on top of that in a couple of weeks. Well, I hadn't got on top of the other two, you understand? And just kept letting things distract me. But I told her, call Sean and tell him that I'm writing this book and it's going to have to be edited here in the next couple of weeks. I know it's over Christmas. Just ask him if there's time. You know, and I told Katie, you know, that's what the Spirit spoke to me, but if it's not right and he doesn't have the time, well, we'll just move on. So anyway, we just did that by faith, and Sean's like, you know what, I just happened to have extra time, and I was looking for a project to do, and it, well, anyway. So I got home on, I think it was Saturday night or what have you, and I started writing that, and it took a couple weeks to put this book on pages, and we got it edited, and I think it was a couple weeks to edit it as well. Yeah. Anyway, it got done, and then Sean got it to the publisher, and it was the fastest book that we'd ever done before. But it was a little bit smaller. So anyway, I was reading in chapter 2, the Holy Spirit and the human spirit, and I began to read this, and I believe the Lord wants me to. There's a lot of material here, and this was like a Bible study, you understand. So just keep up with me, because this is a subject. Now, I really encourage you greatly, go back, read the introduction. The introduction talks about how the Lord woke me up and so on and so forth. Read that first chapter on spiritual decisions, and just read the whole book. It's something that we need to be solidified in. And I think the way that I'll be going tonight is just really explaining. And you might say, well, I already know that the Holy Spirit lives in me. Well, that's all good and fun, but we just need to go over the basics again and again and again and again and get it solidified. Why is he there? And we're going to be emphasizing really that the Holy Ghost does live inside of, what's the difference of the Old Testament and the New Testament believers? And because sometimes we get tripped up on these things, and we try to be led like they did in the Old Testament. But in our new covenant, in Christ, we're led differently, aren't we? All right, so anyway, we need to understand the terminology of the Holy Spirit and the difference between the Holy Spirit and the human spirit. And the definition for spiritology is a study of the human spirit. And really, it speaks of the human spirit of man that is born again or regenerated. And the word spirit or human spirit and heart are synonymous terms. So, but some people get that mixed up with psychology. And psychology is a study of the soul, which is the soul of man, or the mind, the will, and the emotions. Okay, and many, I was just prompted to. I was looking for a particular thing, and I read this just a little bit. I had to click off of it, but it just showed me where the body of Christ is. And this minister went on to say how the spirit of man is really talking about the mind of man, and they're so confused. And Dad Hagen has brought light to the body of Christ, right? So, first of all, let's read something here. Let's read in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I'm going to read this pretty quick so you can write that down. But 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." All right? So we know that we are a spirit, put it that way. And again, Dad Hagen, Kenneth Hagen Sr., has gotten light. Jesus taught him about this subject, and you can go read his book on how to be led by the Spirit of God, and you'll be greatly blessed by that. But we are a spirit, right? We have a body, and we possess a soul. And the body is your house, so to speak. And we've often said, I'm looking at you through these eyes we call windows. Yeah, and through these windows we call eyes, whatever, something like that. But we are a spirit man. We're a spirit being. And this house is our body. Then we possess a soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions. So obviously, if we're a spirit, because we're made after God's likeness, remember, Adam was made after God's likeness, and God breathed his spirit into Adam and Eve. And his spirit that was in man made man in the likeness of God. So when Adam lost the life of God because of sin, you see, he lost that because he would have lived eternally in his sin here on the earth, and he lost the life of God. And really, I won't go into that, but I will say this. He lost that, and from his generation on until Christ came in this new covenant through grace through faith, they were only led externally. They weren't able to, they weren't enlightened in their spirit. The Holy Spirit did not live inside of them. So they were only able, when they heard God's word, they got direction. They were able to believe. We know that. You know, it was imputed to Abraham for righteousness. He believed God. But they were led by external circumstance, because they did not have the ability to hear within all of those years. So there are things that in the Old Testament that they did, and they were led externally, that we are not to do today. Yeah. So let's go on and read another scripture there. In Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." So we know that the word of God is powerful. And it says, to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner. Really, joints and marrow are the body, right? So we've got soul, spirit, body there. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, and you can write these down, just give you light. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You see, man became a new creation because Adam lost something and it had to be recreated in our spirit. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. The heart or the spirit is the part of man that becomes new in Christ. So 1 Peter 3:4 in the King James Bible says, let it, because I generally read from the New King James, but in the King James it says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. And this refers to the center of man or the spirit of man that is the core of his being. In Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord searching all the inner depths of the heart. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord searching all the inner depths of the heart. Now, understand something. David spoke prophetically quite often. And we have to understand here, I wrote it out, this David, who wrote Proverbs, many times spoke prophetically. Originally, through Adam, man did have an enlightened heart because the very God kind of life lived inside of Adam and Eve. However, when Adam sinned, he lost this life. He was no longer alive to God, but rather he was darkened in his heart. Enlightenment only came from God's word, not the Holy Spirit within. Man had the ability to see and believe because of the guidance of God's word that was before them, and God came upon the prophet, priest, and king in order to do service and guide the people as well. And we see in Psalms 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Amen. Well, put it this way, we don't have to look for God's word externally in a path. Or look down at our feet and say, Lord, light my way. Because really that enlightened path is inside of you. We have to look inside of our spirit where the Holy Spirit lies in order to get guidance, in order to get comfort, in order. And again, these are things, and we have young people here. We have people that have not been taught these things in their churches, or there's a lot of confusion going out there. So bear with me here that we're going over what some of us may think are more basics, but others are like, I've never heard this before. And it's very important that we have an understanding of these things. Don't just race through it. Okay? That's very important. All right, so Charles Capps, I was reading his mini book, The Light of Life in the Spirit of Man, and you can turn to Job 29. He quoted that, Job 29. While you're going there, I'll read what he said. He says, there are many things in the book of Job that people don't understand, but if you really study it, you will find that much of it is prophetic. The book of Job contains some astounding revelations. And in Job 29, 1 through 4, it says, moreover, Job continued his, he was talking about he continued his parable, but Job said, oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. And Brother Capps, now there are a lot of things that Job said that weren't God, you understand? But then a lot that weren't, you have to understand in light of the scriptures. I believe this chapter, what Brother Capps said, is also prophetic of Jesus by the law of double reference. When his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through the darkness. Under the old covenant, the Holy Spirit was only upon the prophets, priests, and kings. We have a better covenant today. As believers today, we have the Holy Spirit abiding in us. This is why Job makes this statement. When his candle shined upon his head, notice it was not in him. It was upon his head. In the scriptures, we read that the Holy Spirit came upon them. They were not baptized in the Holy Spirit as we are today, but he came upon them. All right? So the light came upon them, or light went before them, or they read the word and they got guidance through the scriptures. And we know that they can believe, right? So they took the word and they believed God. They took him at his word, just like Abraham did. And he's called the father of our faith. So we know that we're supposed to follow his faith. In other words, we're supposed to follow the fact that he obeyed God's word. So again, and really the primary way that Dad Hagen talks about. We're going to talk about some of these things. The primary way the Holy Spirit communicates with us is by bearing witness or testifying to our spirit what he's saying and where he is leading. In Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So the primary way that we're to be led is by the witness of the Spirit. What do you mean the witness of the Spirit? Well, the Spirit witnesses to our spirit. In other words, the Spirit is actually talking to our spirit really through the Word. And as we get full of the Word, our spirit is going to be educated. Our spirit is going to be developed. And we know that our mind is renewed at the same time, but it's different things. You've got your mind in one spot, you got your spirit in another. But your spirit is educated when you get the Word in it. And also the Holy Ghost is teaching you along the way. We know that we have an unction from the Holy One. And we know all things, right? They're in 1 John. Okay. So I'm going to go on here. Now I am reading in the chapter 2 of my book, but I'm all over the place. So I don't know. I know Katie. She usually tries to follow me with hers. But there's a place that calls that says alive unto God, a subsection there. I said, as a result, really, I wrote this in. I didn't write this in the book. As a result of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, the price was paid for Adam's original sin. Man was restored to eternal life through the atoning blood of the Lamb. Therefore, when we receive Jesus into our hearts, we become partakers of the divine nature of God, which is the grace of life, or this God kind of life abiding in our human spirits. But again, Adam lost that very life of God, that fullness of God that was in his spirit, didn't he? Yes. Right? In 1 Corinthians 15:22, you can just write that down because I'll just read it real quick. 1 Corinthians 15:22, For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15:45. I know we were, you know, running around and hanging on the chandeliers earlier, but if you get an understanding of this, you'll be jumping and running. Yeah, this is how revelation comes. This is how your spirits, this is where it comes inside, and that's what we're learning, and that's how we get bigness of heart. That's how we expand ourselves in order to hear what Pastor Jay was saying by the Spirit of God in the offering. And so it's written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. That's talking about Christ, isn't it? So the first man, Adam, became a living being. But we know that he lost that life within. Now, he was able to still live a natural life. But without that life of God, he wasn't able to be led by the inner witness. He wasn't able to be empowered within. He wasn't able for healing to work from the inside out. Healing came on them. You understand? So they have benefits. Don't get me wrong. Don't just chuck out the Old Testament, because they were servants of God. But Adam was actually a son, and then we came back into sonship through Christ. So God, who is a spirit, created man in his image and likeness. In the beginning, he said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over all the earth. This is in Genesis 1:26. And Brother Capps says, Adam was created to be ruler under God and have dominion over all the earth. So think of that word dominion. You see, when the Holy Ghost lives inside of you, there's a dominion on the inside of you. There's a faith that when you develop it, when you enlarge yourself by using what you have and continuing to grow in it, dominion increases. I guess you could say experiential dominion increases, or boldness increases. And more manifestations come because you believe that you receive more. God didn't intend for man to be a little worm in the dust searching for things to do and not knowing how to do them. He gave man dominion over all the earth. Man was to function in that realm because his candle was lit. You see, God would not be able to give man dominion and call the animals by their names and subdue the earth if he didn't have the God kind of faith inside of him. If he didn't have that authority inside of him. That's why we can call things that be not as though they were. We can call our bodies healed. We can call ourselves in line with our redemptive rights and privileges. Amen. Let's go on there. Brother Capps said, for it came out of God. He was in God's likeness. God breathed into Adam the breath of life. Genesis 2:7, the Amplified Bible says he breathed into Adam the spirit of life. God breathed his spirit life into man, and man became a living spirit being made in the image and likeness of God. I believe Adam was an exact duplication of God's kind. What kind is God? God is a spirit. When Adam was created, Brother Capps goes on, when Adam was created by God and put on earth, his candle or his spirit was burning. The Holy Spirit enlightened him through his spirit, but when he sinned, his candle went out. Then he was ruled totally by his five senses. Every man after Adam was ruled by his physical senses. Under the new covenant, the Holy Spirit comes to abide in your human spirit and bring revelation. That's what Pastor was talking about. He reveals things to your spirit that don't come by the physical senses. They are revealed to you from within. Now, in light of prosperity, of what Pastor was talking about, it's revealed to us from within the steps that we're to take for God's plan. And there are things that we need to take hold of. But you've got to start where you are. I mean, believe in God for toothpaste, believe in God to pay your bills, believe in God. And if you're just going to be okay with, you know, a little car, then if God needs you to step out and give larger amounts, you're bound to just little. That's why you've got to grow in these areas. Because I heard in my spirits, and not everybody, but just, you know, some of that's like, well, I'm okay with where I'm at. But what Pastor was saying there, I mean, he did a wonderful job on it. I don't need to re-preach it or anything. But I'm just saying, in light of what I'm saying here, what he was saying is you can have a little heart or you can have a big heart. And when we realize that the Holy Ghost lives inside of us and we have been restored to dominion, we've been restored to authority in Christ, and that bigness, the Holy Ghost will lead you in line with the bigness of his plan. But if you just stay little, then really, what is that? The good, the acceptable, and the perfect? You're just going to be in the good, maybe. Or some, maybe you'll move up to the acceptable, but let's get to that perfect plan. And good benefits people, but perfect is what you need to walk in God's fullness. What is it? And I think we should pray every day. I know we should pray every day. God, what steps do you need me to take to make changes in order to enhance your plan? What steps do you need me to take? What steps so that I can grow further in my faith and enhance your plan? Grow in largeness of heart. Well, anyway, that was all free. Okay. Ezekiel 36:26-27. We've read this. And I know I'm going quick here, but I don't have a lot of time because somebody preached too long in the offering. No, it's all good. Praise the Lord. It's all good. Yeah, we got all night. Thank you. I'm just giving Pastor a hard time. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, because this just goes in line with, you know, what he was saying there. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. There we go. Why do we need the Holy Ghost inside of us? So that we can walk in his statutes, so that we can fulfill the plan, and so that we can have dominion. He's just not a bystander. And you will keep my judgments and do them. Why? Because the Holy Ghost lives inside of you to do so. So God takes out the heart of stone that is dead to God and alive to sin, and he replaces it with a new creation in Christ. When an unbeliever receives Jesus as Lord and Savior, his spirit man becomes alive to God. Amen? So we're transformed. We're transferred into the kingdom of light. In other words, the kingdom of life that brings the light. Why? Because the Holy Ghost was restored unto us through Christ. And in Colossians 1, 13 and 14, he has delivered. Colossians 1, 13, 14. He has delivered, or he has transferred, that word means, us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Let me just stop there. You see, because they had darkness in their heart. They were led by the light of the word, but they had darkness in their hearts, so they were unable to have an understanding, so to speak, in their spirit man. But they could be led externally. They could understand, you know, in that way because they read the word, and really the light of the word helped them to believe. So still, you get faith comes by hearing. Right, but we have faith in us because faith is a fruit of the Spirit. It starts as a seed, but we have the faith of God. What is faith? Faith is an understanding. It's a revelation. It's a knowing inside of you that God said, I was healed by Jesus' stripes. So when we're reading the Word of God, that light of faith just rises inside of us and enlightens our spirit. And if we will speak out of our mouth through the authority or the dominion of that same power that lives inside of us, let there be healing. Let there be. And if something's not moving in your life, well, my friend, we have to get a revelation of what really is inside of us. The Holy Ghost and power lives inside of us. And what is it that is hindering us from getting a hold of that power? What is it? It could be disobedience, but we see in 1 John 3, we brought this out several times, that it's believing. So that's faith. We're just not using our faith. What do you mean I'm not using my faith? You might believe something, but are you saying it out of your mouth? Saying it out of your mouth. Saying it out of your mouth. Saying it out of your mouth. Talking it. Not just part of the time and around your friends, you're not talking. And you think after you've been in the ministry 30-some years that you don't do that, but God gets on my case. It's like, you just said this to them. You're with a whole group of ministers, and you're all in doubt and unbelief. You just said this. You understand me? Yeah, and I'm not everybody else's Holy Ghost policeman. But I have to, because when I'm not speaking out of my heart, when I'm just making light of things or I'm not speaking, and then another time I'm endeavoring to speak health and healing, it's going to affect me. It's going to affect me. So our 1 John 3 there, are we walking in faith or are we walking in love? So those are the two things that you really need to look at. Are you offended at somebody? And we have to look at, are we walking in the plan of God? Are we fulfilling? Well, you don't understand. Well, I was going to say something, but, well, praise the Lord. You know, I had issues a couple years ago. I've had to slow down. I just can't. This is all I can do anymore. Who said that?
Right.
Who told you that?
Exactly.
So whether it's Adam, whether it's Abraham, who didn't have the life of God, but yet it was imputed to him for righteousness, or whether it's Paul, whether it's me, whether it's pastor, whether it's you, nobody's exempt from using dominion. So you're not exempt. Maybe you had issues a couple years ago. They told you were going to die. Well, you're alive. So tap into the power of God and help us all take the trash out, okay? Amen. Let's do what we need to fulfill the kingdom of God. Well, you understand, I'm not called in the ministry. Well, I understand you're not called in the ministry, but you're not just called to do a menial job. You're called in that job to use your dominion. You're called to raise children and use your dominion. You're called to be a blessing. Use your dominion in your marriage. Pray for your husband. Help him to fulfill the call of God. Amen. It's not just about slapping dinner on the table.
That's right.
It's not just about going out and getting a cute dog, getting a white picket fence, and just having the house that you want to live in. But let's learn what's inside of us and what it's for. Well, I just got off my subject and started meddling. All right, so in Ephesians 2, 4 through 10, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see, we have to remind one another this, because in our thinking, in the development of our spirits, we're not seated in heavenly places. We're not seeing ourselves above problems. We're not seeing ourselves led by the Spirit of God many times. We've got to think higher thoughts. We've got to develop our spirits to the place to where they're of large capacity, and we're seeing ourselves sitting in heavenly places with the royal scepter, and in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Excuse me, don't let my robe... Don't let it trip you up. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest you should boast. For we are his workmanship. I mean, some other Christian that's walking in faith, is their robe tripping you up? Is their dominion tripping you up? Is their happiness tripping you up? Because they obviously have a smile on their face because they know who they are in Christ, and they don't have to apologize all the time. Well, excuse me, I've made mistakes, but I'm getting past it. You understand? I'm done with that. So you can look down on me, but I'm looking up. I'm going up. Well, bless God, you need to do penance, girl. You've missed it. I haven't been a drug addict, but maybe somebody has. I mean, I've had other issues, you understand. Y'all have. Well, we could get up here and testify, but we're not going to do that. But I'm just saying, don't point your finger at somebody. Don't remind them about all their mistakes in life. Remind them about who they are in Christ. And that if they would see themselves like Christ sees them, if they would see themselves like Adam in his original form, Holy Ghost filled, likeness of God, had dominion, called the animals their names, and in our rights and privileges, we can call healing, we can call financial blessing, we can call whatever we need. Why? Because we have the very one inside of us that spoke the worlds into being. And he gave us authority in Jesus' name. See, that's the key that unlocks the kingdom of God in our spirit, is the name of Jesus. And that's the key that we use. But we've got to see ourselves in that light. And that's why to create largeness of heart is to see yourself like the Word says you are. Yeah. To see yourself like the Word says you are. Now just write these scriptures down. What we have in Christ. We read in 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, as his divine power, anointing grace, life, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Romans 8:9-11, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now listen to this. Now if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ... So the Holy Spirit lives in us, but he came in Christ's stead. He is of the Godhead, and he's the Spirit of Christ that lives inside of us. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead... Wait a minute, I lost my place there. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he will. Yeah. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Yeah. So we're partakers of the divine nature. The spirit of Christ has been deposited in our human spirits. We have all that we need to live out our victorious redemption in Christ. And now we can be led by the Holy Spirit of God and enlightened in our human spirits of heart. Amen. Or our hearts, so that we can do what God has told us to do. Amen? Now, again, we were talking about what Brother Capps said there. We are not led by our five physical senses like those in the Old Covenant were, right? And just let me recap that in the Old Testament, the prophet, the priest, the king were the primary individuals the Spirit came upon or anointed for service. They received God's direction in order to lead the people. Unlike the believers in the New Covenant, they did not have the Holy Spirit living in their hearts or giving direction in their spirits. The children of God sought guidance through the prophet, since the prophet many times heard from God through dreams and visions. So we're not to seek guidance through prophets. Now, if a prophet says something to us, it better confirm what is in our heart already. But we don't need to go to a church and get a word. Somebody needed to hear that. We don't need to go to a church service and go there specifically to get a word, because we have the word inside of us. And we have the Holy Ghost. As long as you're feeding on the word, praying in the Holy Ghost, and spending time in prayer, you'll get all the words you need. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't listen to the pastor. We know that God has said in the body of Christ the ministry gifts. You understand that? But what they preach and teach should be in line with the word. And if they speak to us by the Spirit, then it ought to be confirmed in our spirit. Amen. By the Holy Spirit in our spirit. Okay? Pastor Jay did a service some years back concerning, I'll just read it like I had it there. Pastor Jay recently taught a service at Spirit of Faith about developing the human spirit concerning a New Testament believer being led by the Spirit. And here are some things that he said. Christians are not to be led like the world by external methods or by open or closed doors. Christians are not to be led by tingly feelings. Yeah, thank you for that. He's the Holy Spirit, not the holy hot flash. He's the Holy Spirit, not the holy mind. We're not to be led by a fleece like Joshua. Be careful about these fleece things or you'll get fleeced. You know, a fleece is, well, Lord, if you want me to do this, then have so-and-so be out on the front porch at 5 o'clock. And when I drive by, that's called a fleece. All right. The Spirit of God lives in our human spirit today, but in Joshua's day, they didn't have the Spirit within and therefore had to be led by the external. You may pray and say, God, have Pastor Jay walk out his front door. And that will confirm whether or not you are speaking to me. But I may walk out my front door because I'm getting the mail. Yeah. That doesn't mean God is leading you. I may be walking out my front door because it is my house. You can't be led by these types of external things. And so we think that's silly, but people do it all the time. You know, you're led to come to church, but you say, okay, Lord, have somebody give me a word in the service tonight, and then I'll know if this is where I'm supposed to go. Well, I'm giving you a word right now, forsake not the assembling together of the believers. And if God led you here, then he expects you to stay. All right? So there are three ways, and I have 10 minutes here, or 11 actually. There are three ways to be led by the Spirit: the inner witness, the inward voice, and the voice of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going back here. Three ways to be led by the Spirit, and Dad Hagen talks about that. And he said, the spirit of man, or inward man, is the eternal man of a person that gives the outward man color and personality. And it is the inward man of the believer, his spirit, that hears what the Spirit of God is saying. That's in following God's plan for your life. He also said, the inward witness is the way the Holy Spirit guides you in the most important event that you could ever happen to you, becoming a child of God. Therefore, it's logical that the inward witness will be the primary way the Holy Spirit will continue to guide you throughout your Christian walk. So in the book, Living Sensitive to God, we emphasize the inner witness. But we also talk about the other two ways to be led by the Spirit. Now, again, in the inner witness, we could go back to Romans chapter 8, and you can write that down, 14 through 16, Romans 8, 14 through 16, and it says, as many as led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Again, we're sons, we're not just servants. Adam lost his sonship and just became a servant because he no longer was in the likeness. He lost, you know, it had to be restored to him. Sonship had to be restored. So we're sons now, so we're led by the Holy Ghost within, not external circumstances, or not people just giving us words, so to speak. In verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And that witness means to testify, corroborate. Now, this is an illustration that came up to me. You can have two people that are down a ways. You can't really hear what they're saying, but you can tell by their expressions what they're doing. So the Holy Ghost is talking to your spirit. So you've got a leading or a witness in your spirit. The Holy Ghost isn't talking directly to you. He's talking to your spirit because he lives in your spirit. Really? You understand that? Yeah. Yeah, so he's really there, and he talks to your spirit all the time. And he may not give you all the details of everything, so it's just a knowing on the inside of you. Or it's just maybe you can see him, feel him nod, yes or no. It's a cooperation. And really, your spirit, when your spirit speaks up to you, or your conscience is your spirit, man, if your conscience, or your conscience is the voice of your spirit man, or the voice of your human spirit, if your conscience actually says words, then that's the second way to be led. That's the second way. And so the first way was inner witness. In other words, the Holy Ghost is talking to your spirit, and you have a knowing, but you're not necessarily hearing words. You understand? Now, many times I'm led by the Spirit, and as I'm being led, I'll see a picture of something. But you know, you're not led by pictures, put it that way. But that witness, see, God expects us to be faith people. And he's not going to give us every detail. He just expects us, okay, Lord, should I do this? Okay. You see, because if he gave us every detail, we wouldn't even have to read the word anymore. Come on. But we go to the word, and the word tells us what to do, so that's really the primary way we're led, is by the word. But you understand, the Holy Ghost will bear witness with your spirit to keep reading the word. Just keep on. If you ask the Lord, should I read the word? Should I go to church? Yeah. Should I miss church for a soccer game? No. That's a witness. The second way to be led by the Spirit that Dad Hagen brings out is the inward voice. And that doesn't occur as often as the inner witness, but the inward voice. Okay, so the number two way a believer is led by the Spirit is the inward voice. Dad Hagen said, now I'm not talking about the Spirit of God speaking. When the Holy Spirit speaks, it is more authoritative. The still small voice is the voice of our spirit speaking, but our own spirit picks it up from the Holy Spirit who is in us. All right? So the inward voice is a still small voice, or the voice of our spirit that speaks to us. This voice is a conscience of our human spirit, which speaks what it hears from the Holy Spirit and brings it to our mind's understanding. And a good example of this is Romans 9:1. Paul said, I tell the truth in Christ, I'm not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. My conscience also bearing who witness? Me. Now my conscience is talking to me. Before, the Holy Ghost was talking to my conscience. Now my conscience is saying, so now I went and joined the party. Now I'm hearing what's being said through my conscience. And it's called the still small voice, because that tripped me up for a while. What do you mean bearing me witness? I thought the Holy Ghost bore witness. But you understand the difference? They're bearing me witness where the Holy Ghost was bearing witness with the Spirit before, specifically. Yeah, that's what happens when you meditate on the Word. You get revelation. And then we have the voice of the Holy Spirit, or the authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit. And that's the third way that we're going to wrap up with. The third way a believer can be led by the Spirit is by the authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit. And what Dad Hagen said about that, there is a difference between the inward voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to our spirits and that still small voice, which is the voice of our own spirit speaking to us. When the Holy Spirit within you speaks, it is more authoritative. Sometimes it is so real, it almost seems to be an audible voice. You may even look around to see who said it. It may seem so audible sometimes that you may think someone behind you said something, but then you realize it was in you. Remember the Old Testament, how the young boy Samuel heard a voice call his name, Samuel, Samuel. He thought Eli was calling him. He jumped up, ran to Eli to find out what he wanted. Eli said, no, I didn't call you. Samuel went back to bed. Then again, he heard Samuel, Samuel. Again, he ran to Eli. No, I didn't call you. It happened the third time. Finally, it dawned on Eli what was happening. Eli said, the next time the Lord calls you, answer him. So the next time it happened, Samuel answered the voice, and the Lord spoke further to him. Yeah, so Jesus taught Dad Hagen this. Understand, again, so that was the Holy Ghost, that he actually heard a voice. He wasn't hearing that voice inside of him, but we as believers, that authoritative voice of the Holy Ghost will be on the inside of us, and it almost seems as if there's a voice outwardly speaking, but we know it's in our spirit. So we are not led by external voices. We're not led necessarily by angelic visitations, because the enemy can come in the form of an angel. Now, if that angelic visitation lines up with the Word, okay, we can go with it, and the witness of the Spirit, the Word and the witness of the Spirit work together, all right, then we can go with it. But we're not to seek voices. We're not to seek angelic visitations. We're not to say, well, Lord, Pastor Nancy got 50 angels added to her ministry. Well, bless God, I just take 50 angels to mine. No, that's not how it works. First of all, are you even called in the healing ministry that you need those angels? We're just supposed to go lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We don't, anyway. And then we'll just close with this, but we've all heard the story by Pastor Jay. Remember that time coming back from our honeymoon? And we were in Florida, and we were driving our car, and we hit Atlanta, or we were close to Atlanta there, and there was just a voice that came up out of Pastor Jay. He was just Jay at the time, not Pastor, anyway. Came up out of Jay and said, get over in the other lane. And he's like, he looked over, nothing was in the other lane. Nothing's in the lane, so we just kept on driving. Again, he heard it, but it was more authoritative. Get over in the other lane. So he looked over, he looked around, everything was fine. And then again, the voice came, get over in the other lane. And he said that it was so authoritative, he thought I heard it in the back seat and I was sleeping. And before he could make any change, he started to get into the other lane, finally by then, but by that time, something struck our tire. We never did find what struck it. But to make a long story a little bit shorter, we drove from Atlanta clear to Tulsa with a tire that was the wrong side that took us several hours to even find a shop that was open because it was a Sunday, all because of not being led by the Spirit. Now, when you're driving like that, it's a situation where it could be even life-threatening if God comes to you with an authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit. But I'm just saying that let's keep our tuning into where we hear just the bearing witness. In other words, it just something doesn't seem right. So we look around and just we have a knowing that we need to get over. You understand? We just have a knowing. We don't have the specific words, thus saith the Lord, get over in the other lane. But we just so that's the primary way to be led. But or even our conscience, that you know, that still small voice saying, get over in the other lane. Or I will say this, that when I woke up that morning at Sundown Lake and I got the specific title and the chapters to the book of Living Sensitive, then that was the still small voice of the Spirit. That was my conscience. The Holy Ghost told, you know, speaking to my conscience, and my conscience told me, this is what you need to do. It wasn't authoritative. Now, I've had authoritative words of the Spirit before, but not as many as, you know, the other two, you understand? And primarily, I'm just led by the inner witness. Why don't you stand up? So we just need to go over the basics of these things and not be led by external things, not be led by our feelings. Well, I got offended by somebody. Well, just pray for them. Get over it. God led you here. Don't let anybody push you out. And so we just have to build our spirits up. Be people of the Word. Just be feeding on the Word. I would just encourage you, especially young people, but just everybody, be reading the books that we have in the bookstore. I mean, if you're coming to church here, then I do believe that you ought to think twice about, okay, what are you listening to? What CDs are you listening to? I would say go to the bookstore and see what we have. Because if God led you here, then he's leading you to feed on. You know, we have some wisdom along this line. So he might even ask you to stop listening to particular ministers that are tripping you up. And if anybody's preaching against redemption, well, that's an automatic. You just don't listen to them anymore. Just cut them off your repertoire of CDs, right? So go in the bookstore and the CDs. Be listening to CDs of the service. You know, you're taking notes, but go home and read over those notes. And I wouldn't have been able to write that almost word for word if I didn't take notes. I don't always write everything word for word. I'm not saying that I do. But it helps me because I can go back and refer to things at times. So we need to feed our spirits on the Word first and foremost, and then we need to pray in the Holy Ghost because that helps us to be more sensitive. It's like this big searchlight, and it helps us, and it builds us up, and it strengthens us, and it helps us to be bold in our dominion in Christ. And we got off on that a little bit. That was good, wasn't it? Yeah. And it helps us in our largeness of heart. And it helps us gain revelation and understanding when we're enlightened. So who lives inside of you? Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. The Holy Ghost lives inside of you. So no longer let's live like or act like beggars. Or let's act like that we need external things or walk around with question marks over our head. I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, you should. And God's not going to write a book and give it to you. The primary way that you're led is by the witness because he expects you to walk by faith on a daily basis. So stop coming to Pastor Jay and I and asking us what to do. Just let the Word of God guide you. Let, and you know, if we're led, we'll let you know. Praise the Lord. And sometimes you'll listen, others you won't, but praise the Lord. Well, anyway, that was the word. So I'm 2 minutes over. Please forgive me. So we love and appreciate you. Honey, did you have anything else? Love and appreciate you. You're a blessing to us. And just go and take the word and grow. Amen. God bless you.
If you would like more information about Pastor Debbie Eberle's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147. Or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.